Recording. Okay, great. Well, so, two basic bits on the agenda before the breakout session afterwards. So if you're interested in talking about like particular topics or something, we can go into more detail afterwards and not take up the whole group. But if you've got any questions, you know, while we're going, please interrupt. That's totally cool. So we'll go over first a bit of history, and then second, new things. And the history is pretty short. JavaScript is slow, and people laugh when I put this up. That is the essential history of JavaScript, right? Because like, it was slow for a long time, and then over the past 6 years or so, it's become more or less fast, basically. And the reason it's become fast is obviously it's the language of the web, and you know, you have this enormous constraint because every time you refresh, every time you visit a new website, you're effectively installing an app and running it. So there has to be there are really tight latency constraints. You don't have time to run traditional compiler pipelines, traditional ahead of time analyses. And so the techniques that are developed to make JavaScript fast have been developed in the context of this low latency deployment environment. And the name of the general technique which has been used to make JavaScript implementations fast is adaptive optimization. And that's the one to put into your Google Scholar searches or whatever and read more about it. And it's relatively old. It's 20 years old at this point, maybe a bit more. Comes from the 90s with self. And I show an example of self syntax here. Self is a radically object-oriented language in that everything really is an object and everything really is message passing. So, for example, if in self is a message. It's not special syntax. It's a message, if true, which is passed to the object on the left, the expert, and it passes a variable, a value, and the value is a closure, which here I named blocks, right? So imagine, you know, you're just, it's a big const party all the time, right? Closures, 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 and to get any sort of reasonable performance out of this, you need to be able to dynamically inline, or inline effectively, you know, parts of the graph together to be able to build a chunk you can optimize. And the technique that self pioneered, basically, which was then taken forward through another number of other VMs. I think the story is that V8 was VM number 8 that Lars Bak wrote, for example, and he wrote or participated in the writing of several of the previous VMs, including Hotspot and Strongpaw and such things. And adaptive optimization is this technique. And it's basically old stuff that JavaScript has engineered fairly well. With the new take on it, that it starts up quickly on like the JVM or something like that, through a number of hacks, including lazy parsing, which is a really weird thing, lazy compilation and such stuff. So, interested in that, I'll let you know. This is basically a diagram of what modern, what the three open source web browser JavaScript implementations look like. Wow. This is blue. All right, so I just got a...
That happened to me.
It's like all the blue pixels are out or something. But okay, that's fine. So there are two blocks here and they're blue. Okay, got a suspension of disbelief or something. The columns correspond to tiers in the JavaScript virtual machine. The tiers on the left are the more generic. They start up very quickly because they don't do any analysis basically on the source code. They work, they implement the semantics of JavaScript such as they are. And the tiers closer to the right-hand side are the higher tiers, we say. The hotter tiers that correspond to hotter code, meaning once your program, for example, in the interpreter, has been running for a while, and it doesn't take very long. I think in SpiderMonkey, for example, if you go through a loop 10 times, then you tier up. And you tier up from SpiderMonkey's interpreter to their baseline compiler. And then baseline, I think it's maybe 40 times or 100 times or something like that. And then you tier up to IronMonkey. And then, so tiering up, tiering up means that you take the state of the stack frame, such as it is, and you translate that state to an optimized state. So you compile the function, you recompile the function, and then start it again where it left off. And there are two places you can start it again. There's one is the entry of the function. So say your function is called 10 times. And I can't remember the exact numbers there. But like on the 10th time, it actually, it pauses, and it can do this in a blocking way, or it can do this concurrently. There are various implementation strategies for this. It pauses there, assume it's blocking, for example, compiles the next version of your code, the next higher tier, and then starts the function like that. And the other way is if you're at the head of a loop, you perform what's called on-stack replacement or hot loop transfer to transfer the state of the function at that loop head to a new state in the higher tier. And the higher tiers are higher and better and such because they specialize based on things, patterns of recorded behavior in your JavaScript. So if you're always taking one branch of the if, for example, then you never compile the other branch. If you always are accessing the property foo on an object bar, which has two slots, and foo is the second slot, then you compile directly to the second slot reference after checking that the object is, in fact, of the shape that you've seen in the past. And if any of these optimistic assumptions are invalidated, you simply roll back to a lower tier, right? So you can do good hot code compilation where you know all the things, with the knowledge that if any of your assumptions fail, you roll back to a previous tier. And there are some names here. I mean, the V8 name for this is full code gen, just based on the source files. But really, I mean, it's useful to call this baseline level just baseline compilers. V8 doesn't have an interpreter. Conventional wisdom is maybe it should and start it faster, for example. But both JavaScript Core and SpiderMonkey do. And then the optimizing compilers have different names that are essentially marketing names. I mean, names are useful for referring to things, and you know, they make the concept as well. In SpiderMonkey, their optimizing compiler is called IonMonkey. In JavaScript Core, that's DSP. In V8, there's Crankshaft, which is being replaced with a new one called TurboFan. In JavaScript Core, they've added a new hot tier above the DFG called the FTL. F for fourth, because it's the fourth tier, and it uses LVM. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Yeah, so this is like the architecture of a modern JavaScript implementation. They all look the same, basically. They're all what we would call method gifs, and method is the same as function, basically. Call that just history with Smalltalk and Java and things like that. Functions have a funny name. Anyway. And it means that the function is the unit of optimization. That unit can be expanded by dynamically inlining functions like callee from a particular function into that optimization unit, but it's still optimizing functions. And this is as opposed to trace optimization. And some of you might remember Trace Monkey from SpiderMonkey's past, which was a tracing JIT for SpiderMonkey for Firefox. And that was a different optimization technique, which has since been removed from Firefox. So really, we're talking about convergence on a particular architecture for JavaScript runtime. And I would mention also that I said that, you know, we start in the cold end of the tiers, and then we sort of move up. The cool thing about this new thing that you've probably heard about called ASM.js, which is that we can skip the earlier tiers, basically. I mean, if we think, like, normal code has to start with the interpreter and sort of work its way up, and, you know, depending on what runs, something gets compiled or no. But actually, the subset of JavaScript, which is ASM.js, can effectively start off right here. And that's what Firefox does. That is the optimization that Firefox does for ASM.js, is they parse the ASM.js, do type inference on it to fully infer types, and they start directly in IonMonkey without any bailouts, because they know they don't need the bailout, right? And that's also the TurboFan, which is this new optimizing compiler in V8, is shipping now, but only for ASM.js because it's still being developed and isn't good enough yet for normal code. But for ASM.js, because it has a certain, you know, shape that is the shape of a static program, you can start already at this more optimized level. Right. So once you have, once you decide to optimize something, you do basically totally traditional optimization. And instead of trying to, you know, squeeze the lemon of, you know, your static program to get your type information, you know, juice out of it, you have it already because you've been recording all this information. Like, so you know the exact, you know, addresses and memory and shapes of objects on heap. You know everything. You have like a wealth of information, and really, it's then your job to, you know, do interesting things with it, not to recover that information. And the set of optimizations is totally traditional, you know, like pedestrian in some sense. Like, none of these compilers are doing like really amazing cutting edge stuff. Like, all this stuff has been done for 10 years or more. Inlining is, what they say, is the mother of all optimizations, right? It gives the optimizer a big chunk of stuff to work on. Then you start to move code. For example, in a loop, if something doesn't need to be calculated each time, you can move it out of the loop using loop invariant code motion. The new optimizer compiler in V8 called TurboFan uses a different technique. Instead of explicitly identifying things that maybe could be moved in a profitable way, it connects things instead of in a normal graph. It uses what's called a sea of nodes approach, which basically says, here's my result node. I'm going to pull out a graph of all of the connected computations and then serialize them in that order. So not necessarily nesting things in loops and stuff, but if something is in a loop and it doesn't depend on anything in the loop, then it naturally ends up outside the loop. So it's optimization or internal representation, which was pioneered by the Hotspot people about 10 years ago also, and is now landing in V8. A bit of an experiment. And so that's why it's taking a bit of time to land. So otherwise, you have to like specifically try to move things in your code. We can specialize on the particular type of objects passing through. As you know, JavaScript numbers are doubles in V8. Every number, every double is allocated on the heap, which is horrible, right? Except that when you pass through crankshaft, you get to unbox them, represent them in XMM registers, and make special cases for int32 and uint32 values and all these things. Specialize based on shapes of objects you see, kinds of strings you see. There are like 22 kinds of strings in V8, right? 22 different like concrete classes for what a string might be, depending on if it's like a result of a string append operation, which is an important benchmark in SpiderMonkey, or SunSpider, horrible. Or if it's like, if it's from the API, if it's 1 byte or 2 bytes, if it's a bunch of other things. If it's UTF-8, probably not UTF-8, but somehow it adds up to 22, which is ridiculous. And then you can optimize your allocations as well. As you know, it's still allocating a lot. Maybe if there are 4 allocations in a row, you join those into just one pointer bump, for example. Or you try to avoid the allocation because on the hot path you don't need to allocate. And that's called allocation syncing. Or you replace completely the allocation with the parts of the allocated object. It's scalar replacement of aggregates. And finally, you allocate registers for values, which is a big classic optimization. Right? And the essence of this is that, you know, if you think of compilations, it is a transformation of a program which is informed by a proof. And the proof says these two programs are the same, right? And you can't prove this about JavaScript, the language, the text. But you can prove this about JavaScript, the dynamic runtime, the recorded paths, and you can make assumptions based on that proof with the provision that if any of the assumptions you make become invalidated, you can tear down. Right? So you enable compilers to do their job, the job that, you know, the field of compilers has been doing for the last 60 years, right? By having these bailouts and being able to tear down. And it's a funny thing that, like, once you're at the high tiers, the hot tiers, you have exactly the kind of code that, for example, LLVM would want to work on, right? And that's the essential observation that led to the introduction of fourth tier LLVM in JSC. Because you, like, LLVM has a very checkered history in JIT compilers because it just doesn't do very well with dynamic things changing all the time. But if you can isolate that set of code, which is static and doesn't change and has the characteristics of effectively a C++ program, then it becomes profitable to spend the time doing LLVM optimization. And that's the win, in theory, of FDL. I haven't actually seen very many good benchmarks there. I've seen some good examples of code transformations, but I don't have experience with that in the real world. All right. And this, I think you just have to look, it shows up blue here. Well, what's the deal? It's got blue.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This is a screenshot from today's arewefastyet.com, which is a Mozilla site used to track performance of JavaScript. The blue is Safari, the green is Chrome, and the orange is Firefox, and the red is old Firefox. And this one is Chrome with a new turbo fan. As you can see, it's not really appropriate yet. But what we see is, like, in general, it's got a more, like, a longer scale towards this side, and then here it's just days. Like, from here it's months, and then from here right it's days. So you can generally see, like, down is better in all these cases. The general downward trend, and the general downward trends overlap and be the same line, right? So performance is converging, architecture is converging, and that's basically the story of JavaScript as it stands right now from a performance perspective. That, you know, we went from slow to fast by universally adopting this adaptive optimization architecture. So, new things in 2014. We'll go through a bit of perf stuff, performance stuff for each of the implementations, and then talk a little bit about features. I know the title of this presentation on the wiki or whatever is about features, but I think performance is cool too. SpiderMonkey got a super PR win this year by beating V8 on Octane benchmarks, at least on some platforms. You know, obviously there are many platforms, and things might vary, and I think the essential message is they're the same. And I think it's an amazing result there. And that was won by two things, essentially. I mean, I think the things that happened over the last year were basically two. One was incremental improvements to their optimizing compiler, IonMonkey. And the second one was improvements in their garbage collector. And they did an amazing refactor job from going from a conservative garbage collection regime to precise garbage collection regime, adding generational collection, and now they're going to add compaction to there, which, I mean, you know, it's an amazing refactoring work, and they pulled it off. Thanks to a lot of custom plugins and LLVM tooling and stuff. So generally, the generational hypothesis, so they say, for garbage collectors is that young objects die faster than old objects. So you can collect just the young objects more frequently and put off the big garbage collection so it doesn't happen as frequently. And so in that way, you save time. And you do save time in many of these benchmarks. There are some benchmarks that are pathological for generational workloads, so there's some engineering tuning to be done there. But they managed to get a generational GC in it, and it seems to work well for their benchmarks. And there's bugs up there. On the JavaScript core side, I'm much more ignorant, actually. I haven't done JSC work in a long time. But the FTL that landed this year, I think, is big news, I think. They've been doing a lot of good upstream LLVM work. They've managed to not impact code generation with their integration of LLVM, like to give LLVM freedom to do things without restraining it to have to know which objects are on the heap and not, which is a great engineering hack. There is a blog post by Philip Sislow that I hope all of you all read this year on the Open Safari blog. Just fantastic. So I recommend y'all read that to catch up on the state of JSC for performance. And again, this slide, like before the FTL, it was all like this, right? So, and now we're expanding a bit to add another tier here. But before the FTL, it was crankshaft as well. So I think TurboFan also aims to use the experience of the V8 compiler developers to perhaps stretch that out a bit more also. On the V8 side, crankshaft is basically dead. I don't know if y'all are aware of that, but like they don't accept patches, like serious work on crankshaft anymore, which was the sort of revolution of 2009 to 2010 when it landed in 2010. And it's because it's just viewed as a hacky thing, and they need to start from scratch. And I don't know how much of this is like Google hiring dozens of PhDs to work on these things, and how much is, you know, actual engineering decisions. But Turbofan is totally a new thing. The difference from V8 is, A, the C of nodes approach rather than the SSA approach they used before. It's still sort of SSA, but each node has data dependencies and also control flow dependencies. I keep meaning to do a deep dive and super nerdy blog post on these things, but I haven't had time yet. So, it should, in theory, be able to schedule things much better. We'll see. The other novelty about Turbofan is that it's fully typed throughout, which was something that was kind of bolted on top of Crankshaft. But this has a more rigorous approach to typing and subtyping and all this stuff. And it's shipping, actually. Not shipping in stable, but shipping in beta, or what do they call it?
Canary.
Canary, but only for ASM.js code. And that was just turned on last week or something. That. And that's all the 2014 performance work as far as I see it. Maybe y'all have seen other things, and there obviously have been more things. But that's my summary of things. On feature side, ES6 is the big thing. It was supposed to be released this year, but I think we all know about standards, right? That as they approach completion, parties which were not formally engaged in the standards jump on the bandwagon and ask for changes and removals and additions, and usually additions, actually. And so that's what the TC39 committee is essentially dealing with right now. But they've declared pretty much feature freeze, and all of their discussions are for the next version. And it could be if they develop, you know, cadence, that we might see like a more active dialectical motor between standards and implementations over the next few years. So ES6 is definitely a thing, and ES6 features have been landing in Firefox and in V8. For V8, it was the year of ES6, and they've shipped classes, they've shipped generators and iterators, which Rita Galia did. They shipped template strings, they shipped new object literal syntax, bunch of stuff. And if you look at the compatibility table, JSD also the same. Almost the same. Okay, so here on the left side we have Internet Explorer, which for 10 is just red all the way down. Red meaning no, thankfully the colors are now. No ES6, right? And the next one is IE11, meaning some stuff. But there's a technical preview out, and it seems that they and Microsoft have really been working on this stuff. And you can see the third column from the left, is very green. And this is because they've actually been working on it, and, you know, pretty good stuff. The next four columns are Firefox, terminating with something that's mostly green. And the next two columns are Chrome and Opera, which are, you know, fairly green. What I mean to show by this is that engines, real-world engines, the engines in our browsers are making progress, right? So it's not just standards. They are being implemented. Finally, we have Safari 6, 7, 7, 1, and WK, which I think means what's the trunk, which starts out red and begins to get, like this is 9 out of 11. That's what this sort of yellow thing means instead of 11 out of 11. Sorry, you were getting there, right? This corresponds, I'm pretty sure, to work just by the Apple team. There's definitely room to contribute to JSC on the feature side. And as shown by this chart, there's definitely will for these things to be implemented at some level. They've always had a smaller team than Chrome's, for example. So with a bit of delicacy, you could probably make it work. So, those are the trends. Architectural convergence, method gifs with a bunch of tiers. The performance work is often focused on making JavaScript a better language to compile to, with the ASM.js subset, or with all of these compiled JavaScript languages that people are using these days. OpenMonkey being the name of the Firefox thing that when it sees that use ASM header, it goes ahead and blocks and compiles everything in parallel threads and then comes back. The FTL JIT being JSC and Turbofan and V8, which while motivated by Crankshaft stuff was definitely also motivated by being crushed on Atom.js benchmarks by Firefox. And then finally, there's ongoing feature work that is progressing, right? So that's where I see JavaScript right now, like, and as far as future, I don't know, right? TurboFan will land in V8. I don't know with what performance results. I think it's going to land as soon as it's on par with crankshaft, and then we'll see again an incremental squeezing of that lemon there. In the FTL, when it first landed, they disabled a number of the more interesting passes in LLVM, and so as things progress there, maybe we'll see more of that. ES6 will be deployed as features are cared about. For example, tail calls are part of ES6, and nobody but us scheme people really gives a shit about it, so nobody's going to implement it, I don't think. Well, I mean, is it the bottom of the priority list, basically, compared to other things, as an example? But they do start talking about other things that can be standardized, and they're trying not to make like a monolithic ES7, but rather separate specifications that can progress at different rates. Maybe other language experimentations, like new variations of JavaScript, get built into some browser or not. So yeah, it's difficult for me to look in the future, but that's basically where I see things going. So that's all my talk on the state of JavaScript. We're going to have a breakout session a little later, but questions on anything in here? Yeah, Martin.
So can you talk about philosophical differences that motivate the JS team not to optimize for
it? I think, okay, so I haven't talked with anyone on the JS team. So all I can do is speculate. But having talked to the VA team, I think there's a strong, stubborn, willful, prideful thing that as language implementers, optimizing for a subset of JavaScript is kind of a crappy thing to do. That it creates a discontinuity in the language between a subset which is implemented one way and a subset which is implemented another way, and that actually there should be reliable, predictable performance along a continuum of JavaScript code, whether, like, if you just have that subset, then you get that Atom.js subset performance, and as you start to include other features in the language, your performance, well, I don't say it goes down, because, I mean, you still get to apply all these adaptive optimization techniques, and it's not necessary, actually, to limit the language to that subset, and that's what some of the V8 hackers I've talked to feel, and I'm not really on the compiler side of V8. I work more on feature implementation rather than the optimizer. And I suspect the JSC folks think likewise, but I don't actually know. That's just speculation.
I can
both of you.
There's a question. The answer is that they want to optimize the JavaScript as a whole, not JavaScript.
Yeah, I
think
that's
true.
Cool, yeah. Anyone who's interested, we'll break out by the break room, talk about things or whatever y'all got going on. So, yeah, thanks for putting up with me.